listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
On a day in which we seem to have a start date for one professional league and the lights got turned on in Las Vegas, what is the Vegas lead here on a Thursday?
I'm going to tell you, I've never explained the why to why I made a pick on a Vegas lead, but I'm going to do that right now. I'm picking the NBA coming back, and here's why. I don't think it's the biggest story. I think if we're Vegas-based, maybe the Vegas opening up should be the biggest story. I think if you're looking at it outside of the sports lens, obviously what's going on across the nation. I just like basketball. I just like sports. I'm going to selfishly pick the NBA starting and promise we're going to get to Vegas opening up and the Drew Brees controversy.
Yeah, as expected, the NBA Board of Governors approved the 22-team format to restart the season in July in Orlando. The Players Association has a call set for Friday to approve the proposal, but it looks like we are going to have an NBA season starting next month.
Now, I like suspense. I like conspiracies. I think we got one here. Now, follow me through this, Jonas, and please don't, you know, give me the facts as you see them. Don't think, what's RJ? I know you never do that, actually, so we're fine. All right, here's what I'm going to say. Number one, I believe that almost everyone I heard thought that the NBA's plan was convoluted. It didn't necessarily make sense. It wasn't like they found it objectionable as much as why. I mean, it wasn't people being mad at it. It felt like it was more people confused. Not that they couldn't follow it, but why? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there was some confusion for sure. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it just was like, it's almost like we're going to drive from here to L.A. And it's like if you said, yeah, but we're going to go up to Baker and then we're going to go to Fresno and then L.A. It's like, okay, why? Right? Okay, well, our uncle's here, our aunt's. Okay, that makes sense. Let's try to figure out the why, because I think I've got it, and I don't think the NBA wants us talking about it. Now, we know money, follow the money. We know that's the driver of many things, most things perhaps. And what we know is they needed the NBA, the East, to have a reason to play regular season games. Now, why did the East need to play regular season games? Because in general, regular season games, 8 more or so would get these teams to the minimum of 70, which is one of the core elements of the local TV deal. So the Lakers, 62 or whatever or so games they've played, if they get enough games to get the 70 and beyond, the refunds and all the different big high-dollar, million-dollar things, the league benefits once they get to 70. Is that correct as you see it, John?
Yeah, no, that's it. This has been a big part of the discussion is all that money that was potentially going to be lost for those local markets.
Agreed. So now imagine Adam Silver comes out and says, listen, if you look at the East, the 8 teams are set. I mean, again, this is hypothetical. This isn't what he said. And it'd be nice if he did. Washington's 5.5 out of the 8th seed. We're not going to, I mean, there's, can't play 30 games. There's not even that many games actually scheduled originally left. How are we going to make it that it makes any sense for these teams to be playing? Because we already said how important it was for the health. The health of the players is paramount, not money. So why are they playing? Huh. Okay. In 8 games, they can't come back from 5.5 back. I mean, they can, but the odds are so small. Let's make it that they only got to come, like if they're getting a handicap, they only got to gain 1.5. And if they're within 4, then it goes to some other mode that we can make money off of, actually. Doesn't that sound like the truth? Where they reverse engineered and said, we can't, because here's the question. If Washington doesn't have a real chance, let's say in a normal scenario, to come back from 5.5 back in 8 games, then why would the 8 other teams in the East play at all, Jonas?
It's like the prize in a Happy Meal box. You know, it wasn't enough they had the Happy Meal. They wanted to throw in an extra prize here. So here's a potential play-in tournament as well.
Yeah, you're right. There is. But would you agree with me if somehow Washington said, we're not playing, we're out of this for whatever reason, would these other 8 teams have any reason to play?
The 1-8 seeds?
Yeah,
there would be no reason. No, not at all.
Because you got the team set, right, the 8. And the seedings, though, to some degree, you'd rather be the 1 seed just because though there's no home court now, right? But just because you'd play an easier first-round opponent in theory. So, yeah, you'd want a better seed, all things being equal, but it's almost a non-issue without home court.
Yeah, I think that this is all about they wanted to get another team in to try and squeeze some extra games out of it. Because if I was a 1-8 seed and I already knew my place was set in order, there is no incentive for me to want to play and risk injury before a playoff.
But even more than that, there's no rationale for the league to even have the games, right? So to me, that's the distinction here. And I think it bears going over one more time because I always like to check and, you know, I've talked to people about this, but Jonas is always the last threshold of, like, if I can convince him, I've got it, because he's kind of tough to convince. The 8 teams that are now 1-8 in the East, them playing 8 more games in order to reshuffle potentially the 2 seed becomes a 3 or whatever is so small, it's almost not worth anything. Forget 8 more games in the COVID-19 era of risk and reward and all that stuff. Thus, they had to make it seem like there was a playoff spot at stake in order to make all these games reasonable. But Washington being 5.5 back with only 8 games playing, they didn't have a real chance to come back. So you can't, it's not only Washington that is playing now because of this decision. It's all the other 8 teams get a reason to play because Washington needs a fair shot. And otherwise, and that's my question, Jonas, if Washington were 12 games back and the top 8 seeds were set and the 9th team was 12 games back, so there's no chance they'd come back, there'd be no reason to play these 8 games amongst the East, correct? Oh, I'm not getting you, Jonas, for some reason.
There'd be no reason whatsoever for them to play.
All right. I agree. So now it's not only hey, let's get a play-in tournament, let's get this, let's see. It's the very reason to finish these 8 games for the East was to concoct a way for Washington to be viable. That was the goal of this plan all along. Let's look at it. Okay, 8 games left, 5.5 back. We can't just make it about that. So for the first time in history, has there ever been a league that you know of at the major level, you know, major sports league, in which it wasn't did you get first or second? It was if you were within this many games, we then had a playoff. Have you ever seen that before?
No, it's weird.
So for the first time in history of any major North American sports league that we know of, they've put a handicap on it. That it's like golf. If I'm a better golfer than Jonas, I don't think I probably am. If I were, he'd have to give, or I'd have to give him a handicap. Somehow Washington has gotten a handicap. If you're within 4, we're going to play a play-in. Okay. Now, that would be a bonus, as Jonas said, like a happy meal after the burger, or a little prize after the burger. But they don't want to screw over Orlando. I mean, if they had to, they would, right? But they don't want to, the league. So they actually said, okay, how can we make the play-in that the chance of Orlando actually losing is small, that Orlando's probably going to ultimately be the eighth team. Well, now, for the first time in the history of North American sports leagues, we have a series in which the number of games you have to win is different for each team. Have you ever seen that before, Jonas?
No.
So, we have broken two records in the history of the world. Two things that's never happened have happened. All just so they could play these eight games and it not look like what it is for the East. Now, the West, I get it. I think if you just look at the West and the way they did it, it's a reasonable plan. But was it a coincidence they said within four? It was like them saying, we're going to make it feel like the games matter for the eight. Then once, if Washington gains a game and a half, we're going to make it so it's so hard for them to actually get anything from it. Because you got to beat them twice instead of just once. So in the end, the odds are it's going to be these eight teams. Like, I think we looked at it, McKenzie and Reese, what did we say, 4% ultimately?
Yeah, after getting into the plan and then winning it two games.
4%. So if we just estimate based on, you know, back in the napkin calculations, 96% chance Orlando will be the eighth seed and 4% with Washington. But it feels like they have a real chance, right? They only got to pick up a game and a half. But you think about those chances plus winning two straight, it actually goes to about 4%. So thus the NBA, and we'll see if Jonas agrees with the main conclusion. I'm RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. The NBA said, how can we make it seem like these games should matter? And it's not really just a money grab. But let's make it that we don't screw over Orlando, that they have a massively best chance to actually get there. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got it. Time to announce it. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it sounds right.
So where's your anger? Where let's hear some indignation. What do you think of that?
Because I think, well, first of all, the NBA, if they, in essence, what they just did for people following along is they just spotted the Washington Wizards four games. So instead of looking at them like they're 5.5 out, now consider that they're 1.5 out, and they only have to make up that 1.5 games and finish in a tie because it's the same as finishing four games out. So for whatever reason, whatever the Wizards did or whatever they've got on somebody in the NBA front office, they were just spotted four games in a play-in tournament, potentially, in Orlando for whatever this playoff was going to be. I think this whole thing has felt a little gimmicky from the start. It's almost like the NBA wanted to do something, but they couldn't quite get their minds around the idea of, all right, forget about conferences. How about just the top 16 teams? They still wanted to keep that Eastern-Western Conference feel to it. Thus, they turned it into this, which is this play-in tournament, five on one side, one on the other. It's very confusing all the way around, but I think you're spot on. I think the NBA did this because they had to make it seem like these were worth playing for the top seeds.
Yeah, and I think the one part I disagree, and I like the recap, I don't think they care at all about Washington. They would knife Washington in the back as quick as anyone else. They care about the money. And I think that all the mouth service, all the yappity-yap about player safety, the idea that they literally are coming back, and let's think about this. If there's eight games by eight teams, all right? So I'm just going to do some quick math. 64. There's 64 games here, right? But I guess there's going to be four matchups each, right? So it would be eight games. There'd be 32 games played amongst them. Those 32 games have no purpose if Washington doesn't have a real chance to get in. They created an environment. It looks like Washington has a real chance to get in, but they have only a tiny chance. And they reverse engineered that, the NBA did, because they wanted to be fair to Orlando, but they wanted the perception to be there was reason to play these games, because not only did they want the revenue just from those games, but they needed the revenue for those TV they needed the games for the TV contract. That was big money. And in the end, when there's big money, all the talking doesn't mean anything with these leagues. As a business, they're going to do that. Closing thoughts, Jones.
Yeah, and I also think for these other teams, the NBA, instead of saying to these teams who all wanted a preseason, they wanted some sort of a warm-up before the playoffs started, Well, instead of that happening, they couldn't really come out and say that, so they make these games worth something, and these are just a continuation of the regular season. But the top eight seeds look at it like, listen, this is just us getting ready for the postseason. We're not really thinking much of what our chances are down the stretch here.
Now, if that's true, that's even worse, because to me, one, if you're doing this for the fidelity of the standings, the fairness of the championship, having all of these teams in the East having nothing really to play for means on any given night, it might be that Washington's playing a team that's not playing hard.
Right.
And then the next night they're playing, or Orlando's playing a team that is playing hard. And you create an environment where most of the teams don't care about the games. How can that be fair? Right?
Yeah.
Even if you play the exact same teams the exact same number of times based on where they are, like preseason, some teams play hard in week two, some week three. I mean, to me, they've caused more problems if it came to the fidelity of the championship or however you want to call it. But none of that really mattered to them, right? They just couldn't say, hey, you teams in the East, stay home. We'll play these games. And oh, by the way, you that nine teams that would have been here in the East, you all got to go into penalty mode on that TV contract. And oh, by the way, we'll suffer too because we all share the money. No, they weren't going to do it. And I'm not saying the NBA is doing anything wrong. I'm saying they're being disingenuous. If they came out and were honest, listen, these East games, they're like exhibition games. But you know what? We didn't want to give the money back. See you in a couple weeks. And yeah. The last thing I'd say, Jonas, I know we got to run. If they were talking about, oh, we need some time to get ready, it's already 8 weeks. It's not like they're coming back in four and this is like a preseason. They're taking the full time for a camp, preseason, and then they're having these eight games that don't mean much for half the teams. Then we get to playoffs. So somehow, if the clock is ticking, it doesn't seem like they're acting that way.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I believe, my personal opinion, that Drew Brees had no intention of helping or causing others to feel wronged. I think he was expressing what he truly felt, and I have no reason to think he has any race, you know, any racism in his heart. I don't know Drew Brees. I don't think you can truly know anyone, but I don't have any reason to think so. I think he spoke what his heart was, and I don't think he meant to hurt anyone. But people were hurt, unequivocally. People felt wronged. They felt like what Brees said was unfair. Now, what Brees did at that point tells us a lot, because now the party that felt aggrieved is saying, we want something from you. In this case, we want you to see that you were wrong. We want an apology, whatever, however you want to describe what they wanted. And Brees looked and said, you know something? I don't understand. You know, if he understood it, he wouldn't have, you know, if he understood it was offensive, he wouldn't have said it to start with, it seems like. So he didn't understand it at the time. He listened. He says, all right, I understand it now. And he apologized. To me, that's a wonderful thing, right? I don't know if Brees now believes it's valid. It doesn't matter. I don't have to. I like Jonas. I really do. If Jonas tells me, RJ, when you call me Big Jonas, it upsets, and I don't call him Big Jonas, this is hypothetical, it upsets me. I'm not going to sit there and try to debate. I might be curious why, but in the end, I'm going to do it because Jonas asked. He said, listen, I'm going to ask you not to call me Big Jonas, which I never will again, buddy. That's the thing. What do you care? What's your feelings about the other person? When it gets to that point where they want something from you because they feel aggrieved, you don't see it. If you saw it, you wouldn't hurt, you wouldn't cause them to feel aggrieved if you're a good person. At that point, it's you saying, I have not walked in your shoes. I haven't walked in Jonas's. I don't know why he doesn't want to be called Big Jonas, but I like you, I care about you, and thus it doesn't cost me too much to stop calling you Big Jonas. So, buddy, you got it. To me, that's good, because I could say, who are you, Big Jonas, to tell me that? I'm going to call you Big, Big Jonas. And that's what happens sometimes. People get told to do something, and they get mad. They're indignant. Why would you even think to tell me the way to think? and then it escalates. What's better is you look at the other person and say, I don't understand it, but I respect it. Now, here's the challenge. At a certain point, what's going to be asked is going to feel bigger than the goodwill with the other. And then that's where you get real problems. So it's important to me, I think, that we all realize, and it can go in either direction, it can be political, it can be whatever, is if someone genuinely feels aggrieved or a group and they ask someone else, please don't make me feel that way. If the person can stop it, we should. But the person who's asking or the group, hey, please, I feel aggrieved by this, got to understand they're asking something, right? And if each party feels like they're right, that's the thing. I don't have any great, in this hypothetical, I don't have any great reason to want to call him Big Jonas. But if I believed it in my heart, let's think of abortion. Anti-abortion people believe it in their heart. And the pro-abortion people or the women's rights people, they believe it in their heart. That's when the battles start and they never stop because they can't accommodate the other because that then contradicts their core beliefs. And to me, I hope we realize that as we ask other people for help, that they have core beliefs too. And if we always keep that in mind, man, it's going to be so much easier to agree. And there will be some things we can't agree on, but only those things will be battled. And unfortunately, it feels like we battle politically over everything when we only need to battle over the things that really we disagree on.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.